Anyways, let's pray this morning and then we'll get into God's word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day that you've made. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit from your scriptures and your word, your living word. Lord, that it would increase our desire, Lord, to draw near to you and to follow you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this morning I had a question, and that is, what is really important to you? If there's something in your life, one or two things, what would be one of the most important things in your life? And I'm assuming if you were answering that question in your heart and your mind right now, that we probably have some different answers. But I had one that I thought we should all focus in on. And it's in Matthew 7. And it's something that a brother encouraged me with a week ago, and I've been pondering it this week, and it's really important. And it's in Matthew 7. There's a verse here, and it kind of gets to it. Verse 21. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Is that something you really desire? Is that something that's really important to us? Doing God's will. I was thinking that should be question that we're asking ourselves all the time. What is God's will? What does God think about this? What is his will? And I was thinking, why is it that that's so important? Well, one is we can have life, right? Not everyone that says they're a Christian, right, gets into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the king, of the kingdom of heaven, that is those who do the will of God. And so that should be pretty important to us. What is God's will? And there's a couple of verses that I wanted to look at. One was in Romans 12:2. It gives us a characteristic of God's will. In Romans 12:2, it says something here, very familiar verse. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So God's will is perfect and it is good. And so do we believe that? Do we believe that God's will is good? Because there's going to be many times in life where God's will is going to contradict our own. But yet God's will is good. Do we believe that? We need to believe that God's will is good. I'm going to read another very familiar verse. It's in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Many of you can probably quote it. It's a very good verse. But do we believe what it says? It says something here. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So God has plans of peace for us, and he wants to give you a future and a hope. So often our own understanding, our own mind, is we plan for the future and we're planning things that we think are going to be good. But what do we know is that God's will is good and that his will includes our future and it's full of peace for us. And so I think it's important for us to understand a little bit, this is God's will for us. This is going to be good for us and it's going to be full of hope, peace, and has a future planned out for each one of us individually. And so if that's the case, we should want to do it. It's actually going to be good for us. It's going to be good for us, not according to our own idea of good, but God's sovereignty and his sovereign omniscience. He has a plan for me and for you that is good. And he's got a future planned out. We want to walk in that plan. And so sometimes God's will is really obvious. And there's some passages that tell us clearly what God's will is for all of us. There's some things that are common for all believers. Some things are really common. I'll read a few of them really quickly. So there's a couple in 1 Thessalonians. These ones are clear, and these can be like guiding principles to help us as we're walking, we're wanting to follow Christ. These things we know are always true. So if we're considering or pondering something that falls outside of these guidelines, well, we know it's not God's will. But here's one in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should know how, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, and each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned and testified. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but in holiness." And we could keep probably reading there a little bit further, but the idea is that obviously God's will is that we're going to abstain from sexual immorality, and that we're going to possess our own vessels or our own bodies, right, in holiness, right, sanctification, that we'd be set apart from sin. So that's kind of clear. So when we're pondering some decision in life, obviously there's certain things that we know are not God's will. We look in chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." That's clear. Are we rejoicing always? Are we praying without ceasing, keeping open communications lines, right, with our Heavenly Father, listening to him, having a clear conscience, sensitive heart, listening to what he's speaking to us, right, praying without ceasing, and in everything giving thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So if we're grumbling or complaining, we know we're outside of God's will. So some of these things are really clear. I'm going to read one more of passage like this in Ephesians chapter 5, and I think it connects to the other ones. Ephesians 5:15. If we look there, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or just walk carefully, "not as a foolish person, but as a wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." This is true today. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So, first of all, we don't want to be foolish people. We want to walk carefully. And we want to walk in such a way that we understand what the will of the Lord is. And I think he's trying to explain it to us right after he says it. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. What does that mean? I looked that word up, dissipation. Some say debauchery, or some say a life lacks in morals, lacking restraint. In other words, we need to live a self-disciplined life. Right? Along with drunkenness goes undisciplined. You make decisions you'd never make if you were of your sound mind. In the same way, we want to live a life that is one with discipline. So that can come in all kinds of ways. Discipline shows up in all areas of our life. We want to live a disciplined life. It's the opposite of being drunk. And so we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to help us do this. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what are we going to do? It's kind of interesting. I think this Ephesians passage ties in both passages in Thessalonians that we already read. One was talking about abstaining from sexual immorality. Well, in a sense, I see that with drunkenness comes a life without morals. Well, immorality. We also see that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have the opposite of that. We're speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in the heart of the Lord. We're rejoicing always. We're giving thanks, right? It ties both those passages together. This is a life that is going to be according to God's will. It's going to have these kind of characteristics. But sometimes there's certain things in life that we have to make decisions, and it's not always clear what God's will is. It's not like one is clearly wrong, one's clearly right. It's a really easy decision then, but sometimes there's multiple options. And I guess I started pondering this a little bit when I think of my kids getting older, and all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of God's will. You got to do grade 11 and you got to do grade 12, but then what after that? Now there's so many options. What do we do? And it's not just for people that are approaching the end of grade high school. It's for all of us. As I was pointing out, what about me? Like, there's so many decisions in life every day, every week. What is God's will? And so we know those general ones, but what about other decisions we need to make? What about God's will? And so there's a couple passages that some of us are familiar with. And I like this one. Look at this here. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Says something, a very familiar verse, but do we do it? It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Are we doing that? I mean, it's a very common verse. We probably, most of us probably have it memorized. But are we trusting the Lord with all of our heart when we have these different decisions to make? Underneath it, what's the foundation? Right? Is underneath this, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. I have these decisions to make. I want to trust you, Lord. I want to do your will. Lord, please lead and direct me. Open doors, close doors. Give me a sense of peace in one direction. Maybe remove my peace in another direction. Start to lead and guide me. Right? In all my ways, I want to acknowledge you, Lord. I really want to do your will. And I got these three or four options ahead of me. I want to do your will. Is that underlying all of it? What is the underlying? Because sometimes I can approach things and I can use this mind that God has given me, but am I fully putting my confidence in my own reasoning? Or underneath it, am I saying, God, please lead and direct. Lead me and direct me. Because I want to, most of all, do your will. And this is kind of what I'm wondering is, do we have that longing in our hearts to do your will? Is this kind of like a foundational, a foundation to our life? Lord, what's your will? I want to do your will. Number one, Lord, I really want to please you. I want to know, what is that good and perfect will? What is that future you have planned out for me, Lord? You're not going to show it to me all at once, but it's step by step. Lord, I want to do that. That should be within us. And it kind of reminds me of two trees. I think of the two trees in the garden, and I think of the tree of life, it was called. And the other was this tree in the midst of the garden that they weren't supposed to eat from. And it seemed like Adam had given some instructions not even to touch it. But what do we know is that this other tree was sometimes referred to as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you eat of it, you'll be like God. And I really see these two kind of as, how do we approach decision-making? Or is one way to do it is to really lean on God and say, God, I need you to lead and show me what is best, to show me what is going to bring life. What is your will? And the other side of it is to depend upon our own intellect and to try to figure out what is right and what is wrong, and then make a decision based on that. And I think if we do that, it's not going to produce life. Underneath it has to be this deep dependence upon God. One is a dependence upon self, tree of the knowledge of evil, and the other is dependence upon God, which is going to bring life. There's faith there, faith in our Heavenly Father who has a good and perfect plan for us. And you know what? When we're willing to trust him, sometimes it's going to go contrary to what the natural man would think. It'll go contrary to that. But yet it's going to bring life. And so, not always, but sometimes. But underneath it, is it a faith? Are we trusting God? And so I've been pondering this. And I'm like, man, Lord, I really want my kids to live like that. I want my kids to have this desire to do your will. But not only my kids, what about my wife and I? Is this underlying the decisions we make? Lord, but what is your will? So according to my natural mind, I can make decisions on, well, what's economically the better decision for the family or different things like that. And I can try to figure it all out. But underneath it is you're saying, Lord, I want to lean on you, Lord. I really want to acknowledge you in this process. And I want you to ultimately guide me through it. And Lord, if your leading is contrary to maybe my own reasoning, I want to lean on you and go with what you're leading. And that's ultimately what we got to be doing, because you know what? His will is going to bring life. There's going to be hope. There's going to be peace, right? He's got a future planned out for us that is very good. It's very good. Right now, my life does not look like what I hoped or planned when I was in high school. I had my own ambitions, my own dreams, and I had certain things and certain plans. In and of themselves, they were not wrong. But the question is, were they God's will? For me, some of those ambitions and those dreams, they were not God's will. And so I don't have them. If I would share what they were, some of you would say, well, there's nothing wrong with those. And there is nothing wrong in and of themselves. But the question is it God's will? And so that is, I guess, what I really want to see us long for. Are we longing to do his will? And you know what? A man or the woman who longs to do his will, and you know what? They're not going to do everything perfect. They are going to mess up as we're trying to learn to follow the shepherd. Sometimes we're going to miss here, but you know what? If underneath it, there was this desire to do his will, when we misstep, We don't have to fear misstepping because he, as our good Heavenly Father, will correct us. And we're going to learn from it so that we can understand and hear his voice yet better and learn to walk in his ways. He's going to use our very error in hearing his voice. If our motive was right, he's going to use it for our good. And so we don't have to fear, become paralyzed. Well, now I'm unsure of how to take a step. But rather, we can in faith say, God, I really do want to please you. I've sought you, and I want to start taking steps forward. And you know what? If we make a decision that's slightly off, he's going to come alongside and he's going to correct us because it's in our heart to want to receive correction because we want to do his will. And so I really want to see us long for that because, like it said, it's not everyone who just says they're Christian, but it's those who do his will. Those who long to do his will are going to end up doing it little by little. As we receive correction and walk in humility, we're going to learn to walk in his ways. And not only, like I say, the obvious things, but it's the areas when there's, like I say, man, there's three or four options. None of them seem evil in and of themselves, but what is God's will for you? And you know what? I really like this part. I've shared this before and it's stuck in my mind for a long time. There was this young man. He was in the Amazon and he wrote us a letter to the church because he was really encouraged by the music. And he ended up that he was serving the Lord there. And he was really discouraged, but he got encouraged by the music. But what ended up happening is I was reading his newsletter. And in his newsletter, he talked about the story that God was writing with each person's life. Do you believe that God is writing a beautiful story with your life? Absolutely, he is. And you know what? The story he's writing with your life is going to be different than with my life and with your neighbor's life. And so let's not try to mimic the very same decisions as somebody else. What do we want to mimic? It says we want to follow the faith of those who we see ahead of us in the spiritual walk. We see spiritual leaders. We see spiritual people around us, brothers, sisters, parents. We want to mimic their faith. But every decision is not going to be the same. Just because I choose to make certain decisions doesn't mean my kids are going to make the very same decisions, but hopefully they make decisions of faith. That's what they want to mimic. And you know what? Their decisions are going to end up writing a beautiful story of faith. Their life is going to be a story of faith, and it's going to look different. It's going to be a unique story, but the common thread is going to be one of wanting to do God's will and walking by faith. And so I encourage all of us to seek to do God's will. It's going to be a unique path for you compared to somebody else. So don't try to follow somebody else's path. Just follow their faith if they're ahead of you in this spiritual walk. And so that can be really encouraging. I'm going to finish off with Hebrews 13, verse 20. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so I was saying, who is it that's going to make us complete or mature to be able to do his will? It's going to be God, the very same one that shed his blood for us is the one who's going to cause us to become mature and complete so that we can do his will, so that we can then test and know and do the perfect will of God. Right? He's going to renew our minds. He's going to help us as we renew our minds. We don't think the way the world thinks. We start to draw near to him. We have this desire to do his will more than attaining the things of this world or seeking pride or positions of authority. We are renewing our minds. We're not thinking that way. And as we do that, we're going to come to be able to do and test and know his perfect will. And so I was encouraged by that. It's God who's going to help us. He's the one who's going to make us mature and complete in every good work to do God's will. Isn't that encouraging? So even if in and of yourself, you feel like, man, I just can't do it. That's okay. You're not asked to do it of yourself. God is the one who's going to help us. I want to encourage you through that. You know, there's one other thing I've been pondering through this, is it says in Corinthians, it says that not many wise according to the flesh are called. And the reason for that is that people who are really smart and intelligent, they like to put their confidence in their own intellect to determine what is good or bad for them. They put their confidence in their own intellect. That is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, rather than walking by And I can say that there's been times in my life where I have to actually say, I'm just going to quit reasoning. And I need to say, God, show me. God, I don't have to figure it all out. I can trust you because God is good. And it, you know what? That is ultimately what we have to often do. We have to be willing to say, this is my own reasoning, but Lord, I surrender it to you. Say, Lord, you direct me. Show me if I'm in error in my thinking, because you know what, Lord? My understanding and my reasoning is just so finite compared to your awesome wisdom. Anyways, I'm going to leave it there. And I just want to encourage and exhort all of us to seek to do God's will. God is good, and he has a good future and plan for each one of us.